My guest at this time is Matt Barber. He is a constitutional attorney, and he's also the founder and editor-in-chief at barbwire.com. We've asked him to comment on the recent stories of Josh Duggar and Jared Fogle, two men who were once well-regarded public figures who have been exposed in recent days. Duggar for his accounts with the adultery website Ashley Madison, and Fogle for being charged with sex acts with a minor and for possessing child pornography. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Always good to be on.
For those who somehow don't know the background stories of both of these men, one is the oldest son from the show 19 Kids and Counting, which was recently canceled as a result of revelations that he molested his sisters, among others, years ago. He had been working for Family Research Council until that story broke, and he then resigned. Jared Fogle, of course, was the one who lost a lot of weight eating at Subway and had been their spokesman for many years. The common denominator between these stories, Matt, seems to be the use of pornography, which Josh Duggar admits, and obviously it appears that Jared Fogle was involved in as well. How surprised or unsurprised are you that that activity led to other things like adultery through Ashley Madison or the things that Jared Fogle's charged with?
Well, not surprised at all. Unfortunately, we know that pornography is pervasive in our culture now. It is available, you know, in handheld devices, you know, your iPhone. I mean, people literally are a button away, and it's so pervasive, in fact, that it even comes through, you know, people your computer and unsolicited, you know, pop-ups and things of that nature. And so porn is, it's really a gateway drug, regrettably, to other more extreme sexual sins, and that's what we're talking about here. And you know, as soon as I've heard about both of these gentlemen's fall from grace, you think of the scripture that says, you know, be sure your sin will find you out, and that is what has happened here. And certainly with the Ashley Madison scandal, 32 plus million, I think it may be up to 37 million or so now, individuals having been exposed for utilizing this adultery website, this vile adultery website, and that is set up to facilitate this kind of sexually immoral behavior. Now, Scripture always says, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, and so forth. But you know, we don't define adultery as sin. We don't define child sexual abuse, as in the case with Jared Fogle, as sin. God defines these things as sin. And with Josh Duggar, for instance, you know, people are trying to say, well, look, here we have this former FRC employee, this reality star, this Christian who has been self-righteously saying that he, you know, opposing so-called gay marriage and so forth and pushing traditional family values. Then it turns out that he has been engaging in hypocrisy, that he has been engaging in adultery and so forth. Well, that does not in any way diminish the reality, the fact, the objective fact, that adultery is sin, that certainly this child abuse is sin, and pornography is the common denominator, as you mentioned, the catalyst. It's a gateway drug that leads to people to act on their fantasies.
Matt, there may be some people listening who certainly agree with what you said about the scriptures being clear about pornography being a sin and so forth, but they'll point to the revenue that the industry is making and say, clearly, there are millions and millions of people involved in looking at this, but most of them are not going to be looking for minors for sex or going to Ashley Madison, although the numbers there are pretty high. So while it may be a gateway for some people, maybe not for others. What do you tell them?
Well, you know, you always hear this, you know, people say that pornography is a victimless crime. Nonsense. The objects of pornography, whether it's child pornography or whether they're, you know, consenting adults, women, oftentimes, for instance, you start looking at the statistics of the women who engage and try to make a quick buck in pornography, selling their bodies for the consumption of all of these men. These are victims. These women many a times were sexually abused growing up. These children certainly are victims, are sexual abuse victims. And so to say that pornography is a victimless crime is ridiculous. But then you consider on the flip side. So the people who are the, you know, engaged in the acts that the pornography consumers are fantasizing about, they are certainly victims. But then you go to the flip side, pornography is destroying killing families right and left across America. People, it sets up this false notion in the minds of the husbands and that are looking at this pornography, and it creates this unrealistic view of what is beauty and what is sexual, and with the law of diminishing returns, people they view this and then they want the next big thrill. So as one form of pornography becomes kind of boring, they go on to the next higher level of kind of hardcore porn, and so it's a vicious cycle, and it's destroying marriages, it's destroying families. I mean, how can a father, you know, be a good role model for his son when the kid comes in and sees what dad's been on the pornography website again? The mothers, the wives are left feeling inadequate, and it's adultery. Scripture talks about, you know, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. So people need to understand that pornography is not a victimless crime. It's a device, it's a tool that is being used to lead people into other forms of sexual perversion and sexual immorality.
A couple of takeaway questions here, Matt, before we let you go. You'd mentioned the fact that it's ubiquitous and you get online, even those who aren't looking for it can come across it, or at least the offer for it in pop-up ads and so forth. So what advice do you have for them to stay pure?
Well, listen, you don't just have to have kids in your home to get some software that will help protect your computer, that will help be that extra kind of firewall in the event that men are facing temptation with pornography. You can get Net Nanny or other types of product that will block out this type of pornographic material. And I always tell people it's a good idea to do that whether you have children or not. Certainly if you have kids and they're on your computers and they're on your iPads and you've got to get this software, because it is so pervasive, so readily accessible, and it comes unsolicited oftentimes. And so we're protecting our children with Net Nanny, but I would suggest that people, whether they have kids or not, remove the temptation if at all possible.
And finally, when it comes to the First Amendment battle for this, there's obviously been plenty of court cases about pornography over the years, and for the most part, the courts have decided that pornography equals free speech. So what other avenues are still available, either legally or politically, for families and people who are concerned about our culture going forward?
Well, you know, the United States v. Miller case, for instance, basically says that it says that obscenity is not a First Amendment expression. It says, what is obscenity? Well, it's kind of hard to describe, but we know it when we see it. Well, the Miller decision makes very clear that there are many types of pornography that do not fall under the umbrella of free speech. The problem is we don't, for instance, in this Obama administration, there is no one at the Department of Justice who has any interest in going after obscene material and going after these pornographers and so forth. But, people, we need to get elections matter. We have to get people in office who have the political will to do the right thing and to protect children from this horrific trade. I mean, the pornography also is used as a tool to lead people into sex trafficking and other things. So it's a really a tangled web, and pornography is at the center of all of these sex crimes and all of these falls from grace and adultery and so forth. It's really a sad time.
It is, and we'll see if the attention to these specific stories re-spark a debate on this issue going forward. Matt, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Matt Barber is a constitutional attorney. He's also the founder and editor-in-chief at barbwire.com. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.